This team's an offensive juggernaut. Come on. They're getting back to it. It's a lot of fun. George Springer with a leadoff homer. Bones, we're finally getting to reach our hand in the cookie jar a little bit.
Well, not only that, how about Hyunjin Ryu kind of out-dueling Shohei Ohtani? Like, what? Like, that was not on my bingo card, but I'm all here for it.
Ryu was fantastic. The Jays scored 5 runs off Shohei Ohtani. They won 6-2. We, of course, are going to talk about that game. We're also going to do a He Was a Blue Jay Season 2. And it's Friday, and that means it's Prospect Roundup Day. While the Jays are hitting, some guys are hitting and pitching well in the system. We're going to talk about it. It's your Friday episode of Locked On Blue Jays, and it starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts and always tweeting during the games on Twitter at Locked On Jays. Bones, 6-2 win. You brought up Ryu, so let's go to him first. That's his third straight solid start. Since coming off the IL with the forearm soreness, he's been pretty dynamite for the Jays, allowed 3 earned runs in about 15 innings of work. What a boost this is for the team to have Ryu. Maybe not back in full Ryu form, but, you know, good enough. Definitely good enough.
Yeah, I mean, that absolutely is good enough for – I mean, if you're going to go 5 innings, 2 earned, like, I'll take that 100 times out of 100. And I didn't really expect him – you know, these are the kinds of games where you go up against one of the best, nastiest pitchers in baseball, and you kind of say, all right, Hyunjin, I just need you to stay in the game, don't get rocked, and just try to hang with Shohei. And he said, screw that. I'm just going to out-duel him. And he did. And I'll take that every day from Hyunjin. King.
Yeah, and he doesn't run the pitch count up a ton. They decided to take him out anyway because he was in the middle of third time through the order because he dealt with his fair share of trouble. There were a handful of base hits in his 5 innings of work, actually mostly from the bottom of the order, but a really good job from Ryu. I was a little bit nervous when they sent him back out in the 5th. It was third time through. He had been hit a little bit, and there's no third time through like third time through Trout, Ohtani, Rendon. But he didn't get to Rendon because he struck out Shohei Ohtani for his lone strikeout of the game to end his appearance, which you talk about out-dueling Shohei, a strikeout to end it, and then Vladdy comes up in the top half of the 6th and hits a home run. That's about as nail in the coffin for winning a pitching matchup as you're going to get. It was a lot of fun to watch Hyunjin work well. And I'll give you my Ben super stat of the day. If you didn't hear it yesterday, Hyunjin Ryu is the best pitcher in the majors against Mike Trout ever. He is now,
really?
He has now got Mike Trout to 0-13 lifetime. He entered yesterday 0-10 lifetime, which already was a record for most at-bats versus Trout without a hit. He's extended that to 0-13. And he was getting pretty ballsy yesterday with some of the pitches he threw to Trout. He threw some middle in and some high middle fastballs, and he's not packing much more than 90. And for some reason, I think he's got like space in Trout's head. I don't understand it because I thought
real estate.
Yeah, I thought he was taunting Trout a little bit with those pitches, being like, come on, Mike, you can't hit me at all. And he couldn't. He didn't hit him. He had a fielder's choice. That was the best he did all day. So that was a lot of fun. But what really started the game was George Springer hitting a leadoff home run, his 48th all-time, which is now fourth most.
Which is insane, dude. That's
nuts. Yeah, crazy. Fourth most all-time in Major League history, tied with Ian Kinsler for the fourth most all-time. Throughout the struggles, George has just been so solid for the Jays.
Yeah, and you kind of have to view him as a little bit invaluable because when you have a guy at the top of the lineup that is so consistent like he is with the power numbers too, you can just count on him to kickstart the lineup at any given moment. Obviously, he's not going to do that every game, but he's done it plenty this season where he can just kind of step up there and jack one. So, you have to view Springer as one of the most valuable parts of this team because he's also a veteran. He's seen it all. He's won a World Series, asterisk or not. And you gotta appreciate what he gives to this team because he is so darn good at the top. And consistency isn't even a word for it because he's just there every single time without fail.
And I feel like that kind of – it's like an emotional release against the whole Ohtani wall. Like, you don't know if you're going to be able to hit against Ohtani.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, a 25-year-old, 23-year-old. Oh, George just hit a home run in the first at-bat of the game. This guy is
human. And that works for the fans, too, because you come into this game and you're thinking, like, oh, my God, they got to play Ohtani today? Like, God. And then, boom, first thing, it's gone. Offense is wide open. Let's hit today, boys, kind of thing.
And let me amend. I said it was 6-2 off the top, which is tough for me. It was a 6-3 game. Forgot about that Matt Duffy run at the end, the really important one. But so the Jays go up 1-0. They then have an inning, which they haven't really had before, where they get a single and a double with runners in scoring position in the fourth. The single from Espinal rolled up the middle, the double from Bo to right center field. It also feels like they're starting to break through that wrist wall a little bit. And, you know, the Bo one was a well-hit ball. The Santiago one was not hit hard. Maybe it's just luck turning in the way of the Jays because they were definitely a little unlucky hitting below 200 with runners in scoring position before.
Well, they've had bad luck for so long this season that I think at some point the tide had to turn. So I'm not surprised to see that at all. But, like, if you look at the top four of the lineup yesterday, like, those guys just hit the cover off the ball. Springer two hits. Santiago had that clutch hit. Vlad with the hit. Two from Bichette. So, I mean, they were finally hitting the ball the way that everybody needs them to because it kind of seemed for so long that we had to look to other parts of the lineup to see if they could score runs. That further down, is Bradley Zimmer going to do something today? Is Jansen going to hit another home run? Chapman, what can you do? And then the top of the lineup said, all right, we'll take it today. We got it, guys. Don't worry. So that's also massive. And if they can continue to do that, then the Jays lineup starts to be what it was as advertised, and then it changes the entire complexity of the AL East, and you start thinking, okay, maybe the Yankees aren't that good, and the Blue Jays can absolutely catch them.
Yeah, who knows? The way Vlad's hitting it, he goes yard off the pole, his second homer. Vlad might be back, but talking about the top of the order, maybe someone who needs to be moved up there, Danny Jansen hit another home run, and we're now 12 games into his season. He's hit 6 home runs. He's also hit 2 singles. Ridiculous. How would you feel about swapping? You know, they had Tapia at the 6 spot because they just wanted to go right, left, right yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Danny Jansen versus Matt Chapman? Where should they be in the lineup relative to each other? Because Jansen was lower than Chapman.
At some point, you have to. I think that Matt Chapman might need a wake-up call. I'm not saying bench him, but bottom of the lineup,
we can't because of the defense. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, of course. But bottom of the lineup, sure. But here's the other thing. The only other thing that I'd say can kind of go against that is, do you value having the pop guy at the bottom of the order? Just so when the bottom of the order comes up, you aren't dead in the water and you can kind of look to Danny Jansen at the 7 spot and be like, we're going to go yard, right? And he's like, yeah. So, I mean, how much do you value that over the analytics that say get your best hitters higher in the lineup so you have them in late game situations? I subscribe to both those beliefs. I like either of them. I like seeing your best hitters at the top of the lineup, but at the same time, having Jansen in that 7 hole, I mean, it opens up the possibility of, all right, you've got your 7, 8, 9 up. A lot of teams are screwed in that position, and they have not a lot of hope for that inning. But if you have Danny Jansen coming up, you know he can get a run on the board at any given moment. So those are the two schools of thought there. But at the same time, if you're going to put him that low, you know you have a 0 and Matt Chapman batting 5th. So there's a trade-off.
Yeah. Yep, it's definitely an interesting back and forth because Danny Jansen is just killing the ball right now. There's a chance that maybe Danny is eating some Built Bars, and that's why he's hit so many homers. We've been asking, and Built delivered. Bones, Built Granolas are here. How you feeling about
they
that?
They are?
Built Granolas are here.
I thought that
here
was still undercover information. I didn't know we were allowed to spill that yet. That's bonkers.
And they come in 3 unbelievable flavors. Chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. I kind of want to try all three flavors. What would you pick out of those three? Chocolate, peanut butter, chocolate, coconut. I'm going the peanut butter flavor too. I am, and I can scarf down tons of those, just like me and Locked On Syracuse host Brad Klein do every weekend, because they're only 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. They're going to change your world. Built has cracked the code to better granola. They're perfectly healthy to pack in your lunch or to take on the road and eat as a snack. Go to built.com to get Built granola bars now and use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're going to go ahead. Okay.
No well, way. I don't know. You know, it's, he was a Blue Jay. Sorry.
I was going to throw it to you.
All right. Do it. Do it. This is okay. Very much behind the scenes coming out on the air.
This is classic our show, though. If it wasn't like this, I wouldn't want it any other way. All right. Thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcast. Ben, it's game time. That's what I was going to
say. It is game time. I like that toss. I should have never stepped on you. It's game time. It's He Was a Blue Jay, where Matthew Bonaparte puts his 17-2 record to the test. You have, after picking up your first loss at 11-0 to go to 11-1, you've stormed back for 6 of the last 7, and you're trying to stay on pace here as we keep it going for another season 2. He Was a Blue Jay. I have one more season 1 guy left if you get this one quickly, but soon I'm going to start. I got 6 on deck that need to be written, so maybe that's an activity today. But for those who haven't seen, He Was a Blue Jay, pretty simple. Guy who you wouldn't probably remember as a Blue Jay, but you might remember him for something else. I'm going to give 5 hints to Bones. He's got 30 seconds or about 3 or about 30 seconds or about 3 guesses between each hint to try and figure out who the guy is. If he doesn't get them or he wants to pass, we move on. And then if we're at the end of 5 hints and he taps out, then we find out who the niche Blue Jay was. He's only ever lost twice. And the two he lost to were Darwin Barney, which was, I believe, your only season 1 miss. Yep. And Kevin Cash, who was your only season 2
miss. That was a tough one. Kevin Cash.
That was a tough one. Season 2 is supposedly a step up in difficulty. Hasn't really panned out that way so far. We'll see if I can, you know, as the quiz master, get you right now. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready, man. Let's go.
All right. I do have this guy's baseball reference page up already, despite not being prepared for the toss. Huge for me. All right. We start with hit number 1. This guy debuted in 95, but wouldn't make it to the AL for over a decade.
Debuted in 95, but didn't make it till like 2006. Maybe past then. So like a late career Blue Jay. Matt Stairs.
No, but that's a cool one.
I got nothing.
Okay. Hit number 2. This infielder spent most of his career in the NL East, some in the NL West too.
Okay, played a lot in the NL East. Let's go through NL East. I don't have that much knowledge of NL East infields in the 90s.
Debuted in 95, wouldn't make it to the AL for another decade, spent most of his career in the NL East, and spent a portion of his career in the NL West, too.
Dang it. 95. All right, so this guy was in like, Jeff Kent? No, it was
Not Jeff Kent, yeah.
Way too late.
He would probably more NL West focused.
Yeah.
Because he was such a long-time giant. All right, we've gone through 2 hints on He Was a Blue Jay, season 2 edition. You want to keep going?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. Hint number 3. He was a Silver Slugger in 1999 and an All-Star in 2000. This is a tough one. I'm not going to lie. It's a tough one. You definitely know this guy, but it was tough.
Orlando Hudson's not that old.
He was a Blue Jay, but it's not him. It's a good one, though. Debuted in 95, wouldn't make it to the AL for another decade. Infielder who spent most of his career in the NL East, some in the NL West. And he was a 99 Silver Slugger and a 2000 All-Star.
But that means he could be like a first baseman, right? Like, I don't know. I'm thinking of only second baseman here. Like, he could be a first baseman.
I said infielder, so yeah, in theory.
Does that count catcher?
I'm not counting catcher as infielder.
Okay.
Could I don't count catcher.
This is tough.
Because that would be unfair to you to make. Yeah. All right. Through three hints, we go to the fourth hint. His baseball reference nickname, Fonzie. Fonzie.
How does that help at all?
When you hear his name, you're gonna get it.
His name is like Henry Winkler.
Philly is second baseman Henry Winkler. I'm just gonna run through the hints again while you're waiting. He debuted in 95 but wouldn't make it to the AL for another decade. He's infielder who spent most of his time in the NL East, a little in the NL West. 99 Silver Slugger, 2000 All-Star, and his baseball reference nickname, which is kind of a crossover of two worlds, two games coming together for us, is Fonzie. Yeah, Fonzie.
Like, okay, let me think of things that might be Fonzie. I don't know. I'm thinking Kyle Farnsworth, but there's no way it's him, of course. No,
that would be fun, though.
Is it like Dan Winkler? No shot. How does that help at all?
I will say,
better be something, man.
I will say, you did say when I gave you the Darwin Barney Return to the Mac hint, when I first gave it to you, you were like, well, how would I know? And then all of a sudden you were like, wait. And then like your brain started.
Have you given me this name before?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. But just in general, like, don't sleep on the hint until you know. Okay. Do you want hit number five? Right, I'll give you some extra time after hit number five, because this has been an especially tough one. Hit number five. He was the focal point, or a focal point. I wouldn't say the focal point. He was a focal point of a team that made a World Series run, but other than that, he only made the playoffs one time. Think about the era. Think about the divisions he played for.
I know that he played in the NL West, the NL East, and for the Blue Jays.
Mostly the NL East.
So say he's an NL East World Series team. Let's think of NL East World Series teams. It's got to be like the Florida Marlins, right? Like, it's the only team it could possibly be, unless it was like 97 or 2003. I guess there was the Mets in 2000 as well. But, like, other than that, is it a Met? You wouldn't pick a Met. I don't even know.
I really do think you know this guy. I'm going to feel bad if you don't, but I really do think you know this guy. God, I'm giving you some time here just for the people at home. 95 debut, wouldn't make it to the AL for another decade. Spent most of his career in the NL East. Also had a little in the NL West.
John Olerud is older than that, right?
2000 All-Star. Yeah, not John Olerud. His baseball reference nickname is Fonzie. And he was a focal point of a team for a World Series run and only made the playoffs once other than that. He was a focal point. Like, maybe he was an all-star on that team.
Oh, that helps. Okay. Met in 2000. If I had a phone a friend, this would be great. If I had a phone a friend, I've got
Our boy Kyle has got it like,
if three I've got a phone ago. A friend, I've got it right now.
Three hints ago, Kyle's on that.
Yeah.
I'll give you like 30 more seconds. We're at the 19
minutes. I couldn't even name a 2000. Like, Piazza's all I got.
It's not Piazza, though. That would be hilarious if his name was Fonzie.
So it's Fonzie.
You got 10 seconds, big dog.
Howard Johnson's earlier than that.
That would be a hilarious person to have the nickname Fonzie.
Yeah, I lose.
It is longtime New York Met into our childhood, Edgardo Alfonso.
It was a 0% chance I was ever going to say
you're going to Edgardo Alfonso. Was a really good player.
I would have never said Edgardo Alfonso. I'm not denying he's a good player. Okay. I'm just saying it's my own fault. I would have never said Edgardo Alfonso.
Edgardo Alfonso. Never. Yeah, so I thought you might, because Fonzie Alfonso, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought you might get it there. Well, you know what? It might have been too tough, but that's what season two is for.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
17-3. That was one of my tougher ones, to be fair. I hope some of the listeners at home got it. That was so sad from you. Yeah, he played 12 games with the Jays in 2006. And he played 18 games with the Angels in 2006. But he was he batted .324 with a .967 OPS on the 2000 Mets that played in the Subway Series versus the Yankees and ended up losing, of course. And then the only other team he made it to the playoffs with was he was – part of the later stages, Barry Bonds Giants. So,
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, if you want to bet on me for Locked On Blue Jays, he was a Blue Jay next time, you can't do that at Bet Online. But what you can do is visit the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. There's nothing I hate more than losing when he was a Blue Jay. I'm so distraught.
Yeah, yeah, you should. That's what I want.
I got to be better on Monday.
I felt it 17 times. You felt it twice. No, I don't take it as a loss every time you get it, but I was starting to when you were getting all of them. that's tough. But we got a good part of the show coming up.
Yeah, prospect roundup, baby. Are you pumped, Benjamin?
I am pumped. I'm ready to go. I love prospects. This is week four.
Yeah, this is week four of the prospect roundup. We've had such names come through these episodes as Sem Roberts, Gabriel Moreno, Nathan Lucas. Today, we've got some more exciting names for you. Ben, would you like me to go first, or would you like to lead off?
I'll lead it off. Why not? I'll lead it off. Nathan Lucas, one of our big Buffalo guys, but he's in his mid-20s. I'm going to go to a Buffalo guy that's in his early 20s, and I really wonder if this guy could be thinking about it. Call-ups pretty soon. At AAA, it's 23-year-old infielder Samad Taylor. He's my one top 30 guy. Is Samad Taylor? Well, let me find him. 16 on the top 30. They list him as an infielder, outfielder too. So he's got some versatility with his position. But what I want to talk about, is the bat for Samad, which started the season quiet. You go to May 10th, he was hitting .235. But since May 15, that's the streak I wanted to highlight. He has, oh my goodness, we're going to go again. Since May 7, there we go. So on May 4, in May 7, he was hitting .239. Since then, he's got a hit in all but one game for the Bisons. Just an absolute contact fiend. And he's starting to hit for a little bit more power and doing some damage recently. In his last three games, one against Syracuse and two against Colorado, he has 6 base hits in those games, 5 RBIs, has hit a double. He walks a lot. He's got a near 100-point separation between his batting average and his on-base percentage. He's slugging .450. He's kind of just doing it all at the plate right now, and he's Mr. Consistency, which is really tough to find sometimes in a 23-year-old, especially in a lot of the minor leagues. It's just hard to be a consistent player because you're still learning your routine and how to get through everything. A guy who's got a hit in almost every single game this month, that's a guy I like. So Samad Taylor is my first guy here on the prospect roundup.
I like Samad. I like that pick from you. Thank you. I'm going to go with an infielder who is the current third prospect on the Blue Jays top 30. That's Jordan Groshans, an infielder, 22 years old, out of the United States of America. He's in Buffalo right now, AAA ball, and he's hitting the cover off of the ball, Benjamin. In the month of May alone, a .393 batting average, 10 RBI, 11 walks, and here's the stat that I love, only 5 strikeouts in 56 ABs. And over the last 5 games, how about 9 hits? And a .750 BABIP, batting average on balls in play. This guy is just raking right now. You know, there are a couple guys on this team, on this bench, namely Kevin Biggio, who continues to struggle in 2022. Give Jordan a shot. I mean, just give the man a shot. Let him play some baseball. I get that he's 22. He's one of your top prospects. But, hey, if you gave him a shot, man, I think that the team would greatly benefit from it. And, of course, that Kevin adds a lot of that defensive versatility. But, you know, maybe you could teach Jordan to play right field. I think he'd be fine. I like Jordan a lot. Groshans, he's that guy right now. And I think that if he continues to play the way he does into June – it's going to be hard to deny him, dude. I mean, he's hitting .393 in May. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Even for, like, Buffalo has some inflated stats, but no one's just hitting, like, Ted Williams numbers all the time there. And I will say, Jordan Groshans' name has shown up on the Fan 590 here in Toronto. There are people definitely keeping an eye on the former first-round pick and wondering if he could break in pretty soon. So that's definitely a good look. I don't think we had done Groshans yet, which is almost like a miss on our part because the dude is just absolutely raking at AAA. I'm going to slide off the top 30 and go back down a little bit to some of the lower levels of the minors, posting up right now with Dunedin at the single A level with a 19-year-old. You know, I like these just legal in Ontario guys. At 19, I had, well, legal to drink. Thank you very much. let's not get it. Twist my words. yeah, let's just move past that awful joke to Gabriel Martinez, who is an outfielder for the Dunedin Blue Jays in single A, who's had a ridiculous week. Just a ridiculous week. A team leading .455 batting average, 10 hits, 7 runs scored, 4 extra base hits, 9 RBIs in 6 games. He's got multiple hits in 4 out of the last 5 games. He's coming off a 2-homer performance. And for the season, he's batting .292 with an OPS close to .900. He is a really fun guy, a lot of pop. He could probably walk a little more, but he's still getting about that 60-point separation, which is decent. And he's a really consistent contact hitter, especially over the last week where it's starting to get better and better. Martinez is not on the top 30. He was just signed as an international free agent in 2018, all the way back when he was, 15 years old. But now he's 19. He's really starting to come into his own, and he's one of the best hitters on this Dunedin team, really leading the Dunedin Blue Jays right now. So he's my next one off the top 30, Gabriel Martinez.
I like that from you. Thank you. That guy is he's very good.
He is.
How about to a guy who was in Dunedin and just got the call up very recently, Cameron Eden. That's kind of funny. He's a center fielder. He also plays the infield, but he's being mainly used as a center fielder. 24 years old, United States guy, outside the top 30. Just got called up to Double A, as I said, but in single A in Dunedin, he only played 4 games, but he had 6 hits, 2 homers, 4 RBI, and 4 runs scored. So he was kind of a fish out of water in that respect, where he was kind of better than everybody else. In Double A thus far in 8 games, 10 hits, 4 doubles. All I'm saying is Bradley Zimmer, he's not hitting the ball well. Maybe bring up my guy Cameron, 24 years old. He's got some experience. It's not like he's one of these newborns that's just playing Triple A baseball right now. This guy can hit the ball, and I don't see why he shouldn't get a shot. Sure, he's outside the top 30, not one of the highest ranked guys in the system, but I think Cameron Eden totally deserves a shot in the MLB. Maybe not this week, maybe not next week, but at some point, this guy is darn good.
Yeah, no, that would be fun. You're coming a lot, like, week after week with the potential call-ups, which I like.
I'm trying to use the guys to help the team right now.
Yeah, an impact the majors guy, and I'm feeling it. I'm more of the project to the future guy, which is okay. We each got to have our roles. So I'm going to go back down to the Dunedin Blue Jays, if that's okay, at the single A level.
Sure, man.
We got Matt Svanson, a 23-year-old right-handed pitcher, drafted last year from Lehigh, former Mountain Hawk, one of my favorite nicknames in college. And his numbers are okay. They're pretty good, but they're not like, Ben, why are you prospect roundupping a 23-year-old at single A with a 3.54 ERA? And it's because this guy, it's kind of how good is your good. He runs so hot and then so cold sometimes. He's coming off his second straight scoreless appearance. Just went 5 shutout innings with 6 strikeouts. He's thrown his last 8 innings shutout with 11 strikeouts. It's just these 2 starts that are really plaguing him. He has made 7 starts. 5 of them have been shutout appearances. But one time he went up against Rachel Balkovich, Tampa Tarpons, and they dropped 7 earned runs on him. And then one time he gave up 4 earned runs. But other than that, it's shutty. And it's all just these homers that have plagued him in those starts. He's given up 6 homers in the 2 starts where he has allowed a lot of runs. All the other shutout starts, obviously, he has not given up a home run. So he's a guy where if he can just tap into keeping the ball in the park, he doesn't seem to be really hittable. It's just when he leaves the ball up and it gets banged out of the ballpark that he's in trouble. So I wonder if they've kind of found something with him with these last 2 starts. And maybe at 23, he's at an age where they maybe want to start pushing him up off the top 30 guy, someone who they want to get some reps against higher competition and see what they got in Swanson.
Yeah, from one great pitcher in the system to another, and a guy that you talked about last week, Dahyan Santos. I liked him when you talked about and you put him on my radar. I checked it on the stats today, and his last start was nothing short of spectacular. 5 innings, just 1 hit, no runs, 1 walk, and 8 Ks. 8 Ks in 5 innings and just 1 hit. I mean, come on, man. This guy is dealing. I mean, if you don't have this guy on your big board of Blue Jays prospects to check in on Baseball Reference every now and again, you got to have him on there. I mean, he also did it in just 57 pitches. So it's not like he's strained out there. The efficiency numbers are off the charts too. And that's something you got to love. This is not really going with my theme of dudes that could be called up tomorrow, but this is a guy that in a couple years, if he continues to improve, could be a guy you're going to see either in the Jays pen if he ends up being a failed starter or a starter. So Dahyan Santos, maybe our first 2-week in a row guy, Ben.
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, he earned it. Like when you're a starter, you get a start a week, pretty much. You have a shot to make it back. Dahyan didn't give us a reason to take him off.
King Dahyan, we appreciate you. And we appreciate you, the listener, for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen today. Now make your second listen, the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Ben and I will be back on Monday to recap the Angels series, or maybe that'll be a recap. And we will also give you a recap of the May games that we selected, that we predicted. So look out for that. Should be exciting. We'll see you then.